Welcome to this AAT podcast in the Employment Taxes series. Today, I'm talking to you about the annual P11D expenses and benefits return forms. In this, the first of three P11D podcasts, I will explain which returns are required and how you should start your preparation to be able to submit the returns accurately and on time. This year, for the first time ever, these P11D podcasts will be supplemented by a new e-learning service on the AAT website. There you will be able to log on and do some exercises on completing P11Ds in a series of modules. Form P11D is the statutory return of expenses and benefits in kind that employers are required to complete and submit where any expenses, payments or benefits in kind have been paid to or provided for any employee or director, or indeed for a member of their family or household if provided by virtue of their employment. Next, we have what has become a little used form, the P9D. This is the statutory return of expenses, payments, and income from which income tax cannot be deducted. Form P9D must be completed if an employer has made expenses payments or provided benefits to an employee and has not completed a P11D return because the employee earned at a rate of less than £8,500 per annum during the year to 5th of April 2012. That £8,500 limit is arrived at by adding all expenses, payments and benefits in kind to the salary or wages and any commissions, bonuses, etc., and then deducting allowable expenses and making an adjustment for any approved company pension contributions deducted from gross salary and any Give As You Earn donations. By way of example, a new employee who joined the company on 1st of March 2012 and earned £2,500 salary that month and was provided with a company car and medical insurance, plus, shall we say, claimed expenses of £462, the total value would be below the £8,500 limit on the actual earnings, benefits and expenses. But the annual rate of salary alone would be £30,000 and a P11D would therefore be required to report the car and medical benefits and the expenses. The next form to consider is the P11DB. This is a dual-purpose return form. It is the annual return of Class 1A National Insurance contributions due for the tax year 2011-12, and it's also the return of expenses and benefits, the employer declaration. Quite an important form. Each of these return forms, P11D, P9D and P11DB, are statutory returns, and any failure to submit them accurately and on time could result in the employer being charged late filing and or inaccuracy penalties. The statutory deadline for submission of the 2011-12 P11Ds, P9D and P11DB return forms is the 6th of July 2012. However, long before then, we have to think about any possible Class 1 National Insurance contribution liability which might arise in respect of the expense payments or benefits that will be reported on the 2011-12 P11Ds. I'm sure you will know that Class 1 National Insurance contributions are collected through the payroll, and as we've already passed the payment deadline for paying Class 1 NICs for 2011-12, which was the 19th of April 2012, we potentially have a problem if we pick Class 1 liability up when doing the P11Ds. If you look at a colour version of the 2011-12 P11D, you will quickly note that some sections are blue box entries and that others are brown box entries. The brown box figures we report are attracted Class 1A National Insurance contributions, and those NICs are reported on the P11DB return form. However, the blue box entries, for example, if there's any taxable vouchers to be reported at Section C of the P11D, attract Class 1 National Insurance contributions. Those Class 1 NICs should have been paid through the payroll at the time that the vouchers were given to the employees. If, therefore, there is any Class 1 NICs liability to settle, we might need to make an adjustment on the P35 employer's annual return. But we can only do that if the 19th of May 2012 PAY return deadline has not passed. Alternatively, we may have to voluntarily disclose the underpayment to HMRC and send an additional payment. On the subject of the P35 employer's annual return, can I refer you to page 4, section 5 of the P35? This asks whether completed forms P11D and P11DB are due or are not due. An early decision should be made on whether the P11Ds and P11DB are required, remembering that HMRC will issue P11DB penalty notices if the employer ticks the box to say that P11Ds are due and then fails to submit the return forms. If your client or your employer has more than one company in a group, are P11Ds to be submitted for all of the pay-as-you-earn references, or perhaps only for some of them? Clarify this now before we start. Another key deadline to be noted is the 19th or 22nd of July 2012. This is the payment deadline for Class 1A NICs. I would advise you to put this date in your diary now and be ready to remind your client or your employer closer to that deadline to ensure the payment is made on time. Payment has to reach HMRC by the 19th of July 2012 if payment is to be made by cheque. The electronic payment deadline is normally the 22nd of July, but this year it falls on a Sunday. That means that payment by an acceptable electronic payment method would have to reach HMRC's bank account by Friday, the 20th of July 2012. We do now have the new faster payment service, which is offered by some of the banks, and that does allow for payment to be made on a weekend or a bank holiday. But you would need to check with your employer's bank or your client's bank to see if that's possible. Personally, I would prefer to arrange payment to reach HMRC by the earlier date of Friday, 20th of July 2012, and I will be reminding my clients much closer to that date. Section 2. Which expenses and benefits do we report? We need to think about the information that we will be including on the P11D forms and reporting to HMRC. That will mean analysing the expenses that have been reimbursed to employees through the expenses system and or petty cash, perhaps expenses met by a company credit card, and we also need to analyse any payments made directly by the employer to a supplier, such as for a minicab account, or paying the hotel direct, or paying flight costs through a travel company. The P11D requires a report of all expenses, payments and benefits in kind, not just reimbursed expenses. HMRC's website provides some useful guidance on what records should be kept for reporting expenses and benefits, and I recommend you take a look at this for the future. One important piece of advice I can give you, and that I always give to delegates on my training courses, is to look at the copies of the forms that were submitted last year. That should help us to avoid missing something that we've reported previously. Next, we must check to see if anything has changed. Perhaps a new benefit in kind has been provided, and that will need to be reported. Or maybe the company has stopped providing a benefit, such as company cars, maybe replacing the company car with a car allowance. Of course, the cars would still have to be reported up to the date that they were taken away, unless they were taken away on the 5th of April 2011. Who should be asked? Who will know if anything new needs to be reported or what changes have taken place? I would start with the finance director or financial controller, and I would also ask colleagues in the HR department. If you are preparing to submit P11Ds for the first time, take a good look at the return forms and familiarise yourself with the information that will be required. There is a lot of help out there too, including HMRC's P11D guide, its booklet 480 Expenses and Benefits, a tax guide, and my favourite, the CWG5 Class 1A National Insurance Contributions on Benefits in Kind. There is also a guide for employers on the HMRC's website, in the employer section, where we have the A to Z of expenses and benefits. If you click on that and look at individual items, it will tell you how to report and where to report. Turning now to the form P9D that I know few of us will have to complete. Section A1 covers expenses payments, and Section A2 requires details of any other payments or benefits, including any other payments or benefits not included on the employer's annual return for 2011-12. Section C covers vouchers and credit cards. So, for example, if a generous employer were providing £60 a week in childcare vouchers to a P90 employee, the excess of £5 over the £55 exemption limit would have to be reported here. Section D deals with any accommodation benefit provided to a P90 employee, and we need to consider whether or not a P90 employee living in job-related accommodation may have some other expenses or benefits to be reported. This could be if the employer pays the cost of light and heat or provides furniture for the employee's use. The P11D form itself was not changed apart from the tax year, which of course is 2011-12. But let me highlight some of the important points to note. I've already mentioned the different colour boxes for entering the cash equivalent or the value of the expense payments or benefits to be reported. The brown boxes attract Class 1A NICs, where the liability has to be paid to HMRC after the end of the tax year by that 19th or 22nd July payment deadline. The blue boxes, as I've said already, attract a Class 1 NIC liability that should have been paid through the payroll. You can use the HMRC CWG5 booklet, and particularly Appendix 1 Common Benefits, for some guidance on whether or not there is a Class 1 or a Class 1A NIC liability, and also for some help on where to report the item on the P11D. Section A of the P11D is for reporting assets transferred to the employees, where we may need to check the fixed asset register, and also check to see if any assets have been sold or transferred to employees. Do we have information on the market value of the asset being transferred, particularly a company car, or indeed any other assets sold or given to employees? It is the market value that will have to be reported, not the written down book value in the accounts of the company. Section B is for payments made on behalf of the employee, such as where the employer pays the car servicing bill, which has been arranged by the employee, but paid by the employer to the garage. In Section C, we report any vouchers and credit cards, such as the excess over £55 per week of childcare vouchers. In Section D, we report the taxable value of living accommodation, but not hotel accommodation, which would normally be reported as an expense under travel and subsistence in Section N. And we wouldn't report the use of a holiday home, because that would be the use of an asset reported at Section L. So are you aware of any living accommodation being provided? And do we need to establish the value and any other costs involved before we can prepare these P11Ds? In Section E, we report any mileage allowance and passenger payments, but only if the amount paid exceeded the authorised amounts of 45 pence per mile for the first 10,000 business miles, then 25 pence for any additional mileage. The excess over 45p and 25p should be reported here, but only reimbursement in excess of 45p for all mileage would incur a Class 1 National Insurance Contribution liability. Check to see if anyone has been monitoring the 10,000 mile limit to reduce the reimbursement to 25p on any excess mileage. What about the business mileage records? Do these need to be reviewed before we make a start on the P11Ds? Section F covers company cars and car fuel benefit, so where do we get the information we will need on company cars to be reported? Do we have to ask the leasing company or a local garage dealership for details of the list prices of cars and any accessories, the CO2 emissions, etc.? The advice has to be not to leave that sort of thing until the last minute. Mileage records and employees' expense claims may also need to be reviewed to decide if any company car fuel benefit charges should be reported. Have employees who are provided with company fuel or credit cards paid for all their private fuel? Have they recorded their business mileage and private mileage correctly and repaid the full cost? If anyone does have to make good the cost of any private mileage, that should be done sooner than later, and certainly before we submit the 2011-12 P11Ds. Section G is for reporting company vans and van fuel benefit. The question has to be whether or not there has been a restriction of the use to business travel and home to work mileage which is allowed, with only insignificant private use, or whether there has been other use which would mean a benefit has to be reported. How good has the business mileage recording been, and has anyone monitored the use of these company vans? At Section H, we report details of any interest-free loans or loans where the rate of interest charge was below the official rate of interest. For 2011-12, the official rate of interest remained at 4%. We don't have to report anything if the maximum outstanding of any and all loans did not exceed £5,000 at any time in the tax year. Who can tell us whether any loans were made in the year or were still outstanding from an earlier year? Is there anything to report in respect of any overdrawn director's loan accounts? Because even if they were repaid before the end of the accounting period and the balance exceeded £5,000 at any time, we will have a P11D reporting requirement. At Section I, we report private medical treatment or insurance. Do we need to ask someone outside the company for the costs of any medical insurance to be reported? And were there any medical costs, such as payment of a consultant's fee, that need to be reported on the P11D? Section J is where we report any qualifying relocation expenses, payments and benefits that are in excess of the £8,000 tax relief limit. This might involve obtaining information from a number of different sources, perhaps a solicitor, a removal firm, estate agent, or even a specialist relocation company. Again, we need to ask those questions earlier than later. We may need information on costs incurred in a previous year, for example, in 2010-11, because the exemption is for the relocation. It is not an annual limit. Section K relates to services supplied, and there will be nothing to report if the employees pay the marginal cost or if there is no marginal cost to the employer in providing the service. Section L is for reporting any assets placed at the employee's disposal. The use of business assets, such as a laptop or fax machine, will normally be exempt. Is there anything else? Perhaps the use of furniture, paintings, or even a company boat or helicopter. Non-uniform clothing might need to be reported year, so perhaps we need to make some inquiries and establish what costs are involved. Section M is for reporting other items, including subscriptions and professional fees, and also staff entertaining, although that will often go into a PAY settlement agreement. There should be a dispensation to cover job-related subscriptions and professional fees, such as your AAT subscription, if it is reimbursed by the employer. We can ignore magazine subscriptions like Pay and Benefits magazine for payroll and HR staff, but not LA Fitness or David Lloyd subscriptions paid by the employer. I have said already that Section M is the only dual-purpose section where we can choose a brown or a blue box. So we should use Appendix 1 of the CWG5 to decide what goes here and what information you are going to need. In Section N, we report expenses payments made to on behalf of the employees. I would like to see this section left blank because every employer should have a P11D dispensation that will cover travel and subsistence, business entertaining and telephone costs. However, if there is no dispensation or if there are some taxable costs to be reported, this is where we need to do it. It is effectively a sweeping up section. So when analysing expense claims, we need to decide what has to be reported here. Finally, we have to deal with the very important P11DB return of Class 1A NICs and employer declaration. This should be left until all the P11Ds have been finished. We can then add up all the brown box entries to determine the total benefits that are liable to Class 1A National Insurance contributions. Multiply that total by 13.8%. to arrive at the Class 1A NICs due to be paid by the 19th or 22nd of July. In some instances, we may need to make an adjustment in Section 4 of the P11DB if there are any employees coming from abroad, or indeed who have gone abroad, where there may be no Class 1 National Insurance liability, perhaps because of a certificate of coverage being issued. Section 3. What can we omit from reporting? We do not need to report any items covered by a P11D dispensation, providing that dispensation is still valid. So let's take a careful look at any dispensations that we have. Is it still relevant? Is it still valid? Or have there been a significant change in circumstances that might invalidate its use? Assuming that it is still relevant, note what items we can ignore. Perhaps business travel, subsistence, entertaining, telephone calls, professional subscriptions, and anything else particular to the employer that has been included in the dispensation. Next, we need to ask if the employer has a registered PAYE settlement agreement and what is being included there. This could perhaps be taxable staff entertaining and functions, taxable awards or incentives, and anything else that's being taxed through the PSA, which we should not have to report then on the P11Ds. PSAs are often dealt with by someone else, so speak to that person and establish what can be excluded from P11D reporting. I would also recommend reviewing Chapter 5 of the HMRC Booklet 480, the Expenses and Benefits Tax Guide. There is a list of items to be excluded, starting with the exemption for annual parties or similar functions. That exemption limit is £150 per attendee. And in arriving at that figure, we have to take into account all the costs, including VAT and any extras for travel, accommodation, entertainment, etc. I've mentioned VAT there, and it is very important to remember that everything to be reported on a P11D has to be VAT inclusive. Health screening assessments and medical checkups can also be excluded from P11D reporting, where we have an exemption which is restricted to one checkup in any year. There is a limited exemption for late night taxis from work to home, but not coming the other way from home to work. The late night taxi exemption is for no more than 60 journeys per annum, and to qualify there are four conditions to be satisfied, including working later than normal and until at least 9 p.m. Working late must be on an irregular basis, as opposed to, say, working every Friday. Transport has to have ceased or it will be unreasonable to use it. And the transport is a taxi or equivalent road transport. HMRC has tightened up on the requirement for employers to keep records, and employers should also carry out periodic checks of the claims of employees. There is an exemption for travel between home and work when public transport is disrupted by strike action. Therefore, the cost of travel and overnight accommodation at or near the workplace would not have to be reported on the P11Ds. However, do we have records to establish which costs can be excluded because of that exemption? One company mobile phone is exempt, whether used privately or not, and HMRC has recently included smartphones within the exemption. Childcare vouchers, whether involving salary sacrifice or not, do not have to be reported up to the £55 per week or £243 per month limit, but any excess must be reported at Section C of the P11D for vouchers. However, tax relief has been restricted to the basic rate of tax for any new members of a childcare scheme who joined the scheme on or after the 6th of April 2011. Tax relief will then be limited to £28 for a 40% taxpayer and £22 for a 50% taxpayer. There is an exemption for work-related training costs, and the conditions are set out in the booklet 480. HMRC guidance on trivial benefits tells that there is no lower limit beneath which benefits are not taxed. However, for P9D employees, we do not have to report expenses incurred solely and necessary in the performance of the duties and other amounts that do not exceed £25. HMRC will also agree that an employer does not have to report trivial benefits such as a gift of flowers to celebrate the birth of a child or when an employee is sick. It would not apply to flowers or another gift given as a reward, perhaps for organising a work event. The provision of free tea, coffee and water to employees is generally exempt. But if the exemption does not apply because the provision is not made available to all employees, HMRC will treat it as a trivial benefit that is not taxable. We would not report it on the P11D. Seasonal gifts such as a turkey or ordinary bottle of wine at Christmas are treated as trivial and do not have to be reported. HMRC would probably seek to tax more generous gifts such as an expensive Harrods hamper, and a PSA would be the most suitable route to avoid reporting on the P11D. Seasonal flu jabs are treated as trivial and welfare counselling is regarded as a minor benefit, as is the provision of equipment and services for employees with a disability when it is to assist them to work. This could be a wheelchair or the provision of hearing aids. They are treated as exempt and do not have to be reported, but always subject to the relevant conditions being satisfied. Section 4, other information. What other information do we need before we can make a start on completing the P11Ds for 2011-12? I've already said that we should review the P11Ds that were submitted last year to identify what has been reported previously and to avoid overlooking previously reported expenses and benefits. My advice has always been to maintain a permanent P11D or tax file and to keep this under review and updated regularly. Check for any P11D dispensations and confirm that they're still relevant and valid. Decide what can be excluded, but also look for any specific exclusions from the dispensation. For example, the cost of overseas trips when accompanied by a spouse or partner. If the only items reported last year were company cars and or medical insurance benefit, and there have been no changes, the P11D exercise for 2011-12 should be fairly straightforward. However, as I've already said, do we need to obtain details of car list prices or the CO2 emission factor? And do we need to establish details of any company car changes? Do we need information from the payroll bureau or a bookkeeper, such as the amounts made good by employees? Whenever we need to obtain information from a third party, we need to give that third party sufficient notice. And we also should tell them what they provided us with last year to assist them with providing the information for 2011-12. Section 5, summary. P11D reporting of expense payments and benefits in kind can be an onerous task, and any failure to do this accurately and on time could prove to be very costly in terms of HMRC seeking the recovery of the tax on a grossed-up basis or charging penalties for incorrect P11Ds. Preparing well for the coming task is therefore quite important, and I hope that the tips and pointers provided in this podcast will assist you and allow you to successfully complete the job. There are two more sections to come, which again I hope will help you. Thanks for listening.